episode 89 of Drunk on Comics, Learning to Crawl.
What?
We're just repeating things we say in pre-production.
Yeah.
For our intros now.
Pre-production.
Oh, wait. I don't know what the fuck you're... I heard you say it, so I was like...
No, well, I'm going over some of the notes that we're going to be talking about during our News and Nuggets segment.
And, ooh, I like that.
And then I found out that the upcoming Spider-Man is called Learning to Crawl. And of course, you have to say it like that, too, because it's cute, like a baby.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be a Scotty Young variant. You know? Probably. Well, hey, everyone. And by everyone, I mean listeners, not you, Kevin. Welcome to Drunk on Comics.
Thank you.
Damn it. this is our weekly podcast where we talk about comic books, and we talk about industry news, and we talk about some conventions, occasionally some collecting, and
we actually make nuggets.
Mm-hmm. We do. We have convention news today.
We do, and I might even have a little collecting tip, depending on time.
Yeah, I know we're solid with that 1 hour, not a minute over that ever.
Dude, we're always over.
Oh,
I can't remember the last time that we were under an hour. But my name's Derek, and with me, as always, Tony.
That is me.
And
part-time Kevin, then.
Yeah, with us as
sort of usual?
Yeah. Yeah. So going to get things kicked off here with Off the Shelf, where we're going to talk about books that came out this week. Just a heads up, we may be talking about, you know, key points in the issues. So if you're afraid that we're going to ruin something for you, just, you know, go read your book and then come back. But
are you guys going to ruin anything this week?
Ruined. I think with my first book, I will be ruining a little bit.
Okay.
I'm going to be totally ruin free.
Yeah.
Maybe.
That's because you were
not going to happen.
Is that leftover from your diaper party last night?
Yes.
Dude, you got to explain this to the listeners. What the hell, your diaper party? This is hilarious.
It's where you go and you all wear diapers and then you don't have to get up while you're drinking.
Yes, it's the best of baby worlds, I guess. Drink and eat what you want and shit where you want.
Do people actually shit themselves?
Yes, because that's exact. Because Derek was not joking at all. I really wore a diaper last night because that's what it was about. No, it is the new age guy baby shower, where you bring the guy a package of diapers, which are not cheap, and then you drink from the keg and have food and just kind of like almost like a guy's bachelor party, except for instead of just marrying someone for life, your life's now over because you're having a kid. So
that doesn't end your life too.
I have so many questions about this idea, but I think we should move on.
Yeah, because when I hear diaper party, I instantly think of like people like the furries and what was it, the clompers?
I explained that to someone the other day. What a My Little Pony fan, a brony, that kind of person who actually gets off actually.
Has the sexual side of it.
Yeah, yeah.
Not just the fan side.
Yeah, those fans, I hear, are called clompers.
Yeah. I'm not going to Google that.
You know this how?
I heard it on another show.
Yeah.
Another podcast.
Kevin's got his finger on the pulse of all things that are just brilliant. All right, so Off the Shelf is brought to you once again. If you missed our show last week, we made our announcement that we are going to be at Motor City Comic Con this year. You can check them out at MotorCityComicCon.com, and it's going to be May 16th, 17th, and 18th. Am I correct on that, guys?
Yep.
And it's going to be in Novi, Michigan at the Suburban Collection Showplace.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 weeks in a row. I've said it correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, go check them out and plan your trip now because it's going to be a huge show, and we're going to be there. So you can
well, especially
come.
Since now there's a hotel right at the convention center.
I think that's actually not the main host hotel.
Oh.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Well,
probably because they want a bigger facility, because it's kind of a small hotel.
It is.
But, hey, it is convenient.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I'm guessing that...
It's only like a 5-minute drive from the convention center to the, like, I guess where the official hotel gathering is going to be.
It's basically, it's across the highway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, anyway, plan on checking it out. You guys want me to kick it off, or Tony's nodding his head? All right. I'm taking the reins on this one.
Run with it. Run.
All right, so...
Faster.
I can't keep running. All right, so this week for Off the Shelf, I've got The Royals, Masters of War, number one from Vertigo Comics. And this book was written by Rob Williams. Artist is Simon Colby. Colorist was J.D. Mettler. And letters were done by Wes Abbott. And this was a... It's a limited edition or miniseries, six-issue series that's coming out. I hadn't heard anything about it. You know, I'd seen it in the solicitations, but I didn't read anything. And I'm like, eh, well, we'll see. And, I mean, it was a fairly healthy week for me. And I went and I picked it up and I opened it up. And the first thing I see is a giant double-page spread of, you know, the old World War II bombers flying through, you know, flying across the sky. And I'm like, all right, the art.
Flashbacks of childhood?
Oh, no, no, I was well into my adulthood at that point. But, you know, the art caught me, and I'm like, good enough. I'll give it a shot. You know, because I've heard Rob Williams' name before. I hadn't heard of Simon Colby, but I'm like, all right, this looks good. Screw it. Vertigo typically puts out some pretty solid books, so I'm going to take a stab at it. This book surprised me because I didn't know what it was about, and it's, you know, it's starting out with this guy who's in a bomber, and he's getting ready to jump out of an airplane with no parachute. And I'm like, why would he be jumping out of an airplane with no parachute? And then as he gets near the ground, he starts flying. And I'm like, okay, I'm confused, but I'm curious.
You're confused? You're reading a comic book, and you wouldn't think someone could fly?
Well, this is very grounded in reality. And a lot of times when you get into those more super-powered things, they tend to be a little bit not as based on historical fact. The catch to this book where I really liked what Williams did is that the idea here is that all people that are born into royalty throughout history, the reason that they're royalty wasn't just because they got lucky and their family said, I'm going to lead and we're royalty now. They actually all have superpowers. All the kings and queens and from every different country all have superpowers. Well, they do a nice job explaining why nobody thinks that that's actually the case anymore. But where it's all based on is you look back at myths and legends and you take a look at, like, you know, King Arthur and all those things. There were superhuman feats that all these people did. But it was just, it's lore now. You know, it's myth. But actually it wasn't. It was actually all true fact. Well, the King of England didn't want anybody knowing that his children had powers. He was actually one of the few royals that was born without powers, the king himself. And so when he said that his children were born without powers, everybody just accepted it. And because as things had progressed, a lot of the regular everyday people, you know, the resident population, got tired of having these superpowered beings lording over them, and that's why you had the Russian Revolution and the French Revolution and all these other things where they killed these people on there, which I thought was a really smart catch by Williams to explain how that could actually be.
Did they talk about Russia and Rasputin and stuff?
They mentioned that in there, yeah. Yeah, like, I mean, that and actually they do show them getting actually burned alive by all these people. But the one thing, too, and Tony, I'm going to hand this to you because I know you haven't peeked at that one yet. But the one thing that, like I said, the art definitely caught me on this. I'm assuming it's all digital colors, which is what most people are doing right now. But there's a lot of almost 3D effect to the look of the book. Your panel layouts are pretty standard, but they're very, very well done. The expressions on the characters are good. The colors are great. It's just a beautiful book to look at, if nothing else. But overall, it's kind of cool because here's where I am going to ruin something. I wasn't quite sure. I'm like, how is this going to be a story? You know, if this one prince, he finally gets pissed off after seeing what's happening to his country and his countrymen, and he decides to join the fight. Excuse me. The catch here at the end is that his father sees it in the paper, and he's like, oh no, son, what have you done? He goes, you're not the only royal out there that still has powers. And so there's apparently German royalty that's super powered, and that's kind of where it's going to bump heads in the next issue, or at least that's what it's leading me to believe. But very, very nicely written story. Like I said, I mean, it's, you know, it's $2.99, so you're not breaking the bank on it. But I would highly recommend going and checking it out. It's a fresh look at some old fun history. So if you like the old stuff,
yeah, and it clearly states of six. So
yep,
that's kind
of
cool.
Yeah, I can't really believe that though. Sometimes of six of two continuation in a series, depending on how good it is.
Well, yeah, but at least you know there's a definitive end to at least this part. This story arc. But most Vertigo books, if they're limited series, it'll be years before you'll see another one come out. So that was my book. Two thumbs up on that. No nubs.
All right. No nubs, no problem. What I picked up this week is an interesting one for me to pick up, mainly because if any listener picks up the two, they either got to know this character or they want to know this character. I'm in the latter of the two of I want to know this character. So I picked up Revolutionary War, Death's Head 2, story written by Andy Lanning and Alan Cowsill, art by Nick Roche?
I don't know.
No, well,
R-O-C-H-E?
Yeah.
Roche.
Before getting into who that is, as you were saying, just panel layouts, pretty, you know, straightforward, except for there was a really, I don't know, I thought it was awesome, a whole time stream split thing.
Kind of all jumbled there, but... Giving us like a quick synopsis of what's happening.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Tony, what is this called?
Death's Head 2.
Death, like death?
Death, yeah. D-E-A-T-H,
oh,
apostrophe S.
Okay.
That's the dude's name, Death's Head 2, though, which makes you wonder, is there a Death's Head 1?
Yes, there was.
Yes, there was, and yes, there is. And one of the reasons why I picked this up is because Death's Head was in Iron Man arc this past summer and fall. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, I'm kind of lost in this Revolutionary War, even though there's one issue that I didn't pick up in this whole thing. Had I read UK Marvel, I probably would know more of these bad guys that keep attacking all these people. And the overall story that it's going kind of ties in. 2 weeks ago, Dark Angel, that was a really good one. And that person's going to show up into Iron Man 2, which is why I picked up that book. Overall, I don't know who this Mystech people and who Death's Head fighting. But all I got to say is this is like one of those time travel trippy, your past comes to save your future self that you turn into type stories. You know, one of those everyone knows type stories. You know, the love triangle there of I gotta save myself. This guy, Death's Head 2, who I thought was the same guy that was in Iron Man, but it wasn't because I was Death's Head, but I found that out in there because Death's Head makes reference to how he kind of got hurt in Iron Man.
Death's Head makes reference or Death's Head 2 makes reference?
Death's Head makes reference. Okay. Yeah.
So we'll go DH1 and DH2.
Yes, and yeah. I'll forget that. Which I thought that was kind of neat. I love when stories can kind of play off other stories. However, Death's Head 2, who's in the now, sends a signal to his past self into the future to come save him when he's getting attacked by these mystic things. So then Death's Head 1 comes into the past to then save his future self because he needs to, and it's very trippy. It's very...
I was going to say, I think this would make more sense on like on an episode of Stoned on Comics than Drunk on Comics, because I can't wrap my brain around this shit.
No, I had to reread...
I'm just waiting for you to tell me who's on first.
That said, 3.
Oh, wait, if he's on first, wouldn't it be 1? No, shit.
Ultimately, I love what... How... All right, one of the things that I like about Death's Head is when he's talking... Well, he's a mercenary, so throw that out there. He's like Boba Fett, but kind of a cybernetic person and not a Star Wars character.
Although he could be.
Okay. Actually, yeah, he could be.
He could be because Disney owns Marvel and Star Wars.
Yeah, you're right.
Now, so.
Well, one of the things that that's interesting with Death's Head is he got put into Transformers universe for a while, but the creators of him were afraid that he was going to get pretty much taken over by Hasbro, and then they would claim rights to him. So doing a little research, I found out how they made up some sort of storyline to get him out of the Transformers line and back into Marvel proper so that the creators could retain rights to him. It's kind of an interesting little side note of this character. I like the dialogue between the two of... And they're fucking cybernetic robots, so they both look ugly in skull and everything. But when Death's Head 1 is talking to Death's Head 2 of, why the hell did I ever do that? I need to remember not to turn into that. Death's Head 2 saying, God, I can't remember how, you know, ugly I used to... Like, witty banter between two people who are both fucking ugly, so it doesn't matter what you say. You're not pretty.
That's just a weird point to make.
It, like I said, it's I wanted more or less have listeners try to understand this character who I think is cool.
I gotta tell you, Tony, I love you, man, but I'm not understanding
no,
the damn thing you're saying.
I know.
Do you like this book? I don't know.
No. Yes. And, and that's why it's so hard, because you need to read it to understand. If you read it, you'd be like, oh, holy shit. That was 100% accurate review, because this is what that... There's a story.
Are you sure?
And there's pictures.
Yes.
Somewhere.
And there's words. Pick it up, read it. You'll like it.
I do want to go back to that one page that you showed with that little trippy page or whatever it was. The thing I like about that is that technically it's a splash page, but it's actually a ton of different panels that are not your normal panel layout, and there's no gutters between panels. Everything bleeds, like, one panel bleeds to the next. And
it's a nice splotch.
Yeah, like, almost like a broken mirror type thing, and that's a really, really nice layout.
Overall, it looks real nice.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, but, I mean, just, like, that one page in particular, like, that's a damn good page.
Yeah, another reason to pick it up.
Yeah.
Besides my awesome review.
Well, actually, let me ask you this, though, because I read the first, I think, two issues of Revolutionary War, and then I just went, yeah, I got too much other stuff to read.
Mm-hmm.
Have you read all of them up till now?
No, I picked up the first two. The last one I didn't read, I forget what that is, and the next one, Super Soldiers, I don't plan on picking up either. There's a couple more in here. Actually, no, there's not really. Fuck, actually. No, yeah, I just missed the Knights of Pendragon. Yeah, everyone else, I don't know who Motormouth is. I might maybe pick that up because sounds... I don't really care for these other characters, and I know that's what this whole book is reintroducing characters back into Marvel Universe, so I'll probably get the last of it to see how it ties up, but I'm not too pulled in by some of these other characters.
Is this a standalone issue?
They all are.
Okay.
Kind of. I mean... That doesn't make sense, but they all, if you just read it up in itself, you think, oh, they're fighting some bad guys, this and that. Yes, the bad guys are ongoing throughout the series, and they're the same ones that they talk about in this, and it kind of carries on. Like, one of the things that happened in here was he had Captain Britain, well, he took a job to pretty much kill or kidnap Captain Britain. Death's Head's own thought was, he wanted to have an inside man into the bad guys, so he went ahead and knocked out Captain Britain, and that happened in the previous book, or had to have, because it continued on of him having him slung over his shoulder. Now, in the end of this book, he kind of was talking to some chick of, like, you know, well, now we have an inside man, and she's kind of like, shouldn't you have let Captain Britain in on knowing that's what you were doing? Well, no, that's kind of how he works. He goes, well, if I was going to get paid, I'd get paid, and... then he's in there, so who the fuck cares? But so, yes, there is that overall story of what's going on with these bad guys, the Mystech. No fucking clue who the hell they are, what they are, they just kind of been showing up in this series than they have before. So
is this a standalone issue?
What's happening? What day is it?
I'm going to go back in time.
You're going to what?
Go back in time. I'm done. Kevin, what do you got?
Wow.
Oh, man.
My no review.
Kevin?
So like Tony, I think at some point you said you went outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So I did the same thing. So when I go outside my comfort zone, what do I turn to?
Diapers.
I'm assuming they're like male adult diapers. For some reason, I was saying like.
No, he actually bought baby diapers because his buddy's having a kid. That's why it's a diaper party. Like, you buy.
Do you actually wear those? Do you like.
You wear them on your hands. You're like, oh, look at me.
Well, that's diaper like a new, hands. That's like a new drinking game.
Diaper.
You know, Edward 40 hands? The new diaper hands game? Anyway.
So. God, fuck you guys. So I go to Marvel for outside my
comfort zone. You went to their headquarters?
I don't even know where they're located anymore. Is it LA? Is it New York?
No, they're in New York.
You said you went to Marvel.
Yeah. Did you go to Stark Tower or the Baxter Building?
Fuck you.
Okay. Sorry, Kevin.
No.
Visiting the X Mansion.
Well, that's upstate. New York. Yeah, that's upstate New York. Though. Yeah. But we're talking like New York City proper, you know.
Oh, okay.
No, go to Manhattan.
Hanging out with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Slinging some webs.
So swing over to Hell's Kitchen and go visit the law offices of Murdoch and Nelson.
They're closed.
Well, yeah, they are now. But you could, you know, lay a flower out there. Whatever.
So, Marvel. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've heard of them.
Yeah, and so I also picked up an issue where I don't really know much about the character.
Okay,
She-Hulk.
I'm glad you picked this up because I caught shit because I didn't. So I'm glad somebody
who's throwing shit your way.
I can't say
babies. Slinging poo.
Yeah. Someone. Okay. Well. Yeah. So She-Hulk number one. I picked it up now.
Who's it is She-Hulk?
It's like He-Hulk, but she. With the badge. So you take two things I'm uncomfortable with.
And, vaginas?
And green monsters?
Sorry. This is getting so off. All right, I'm going to shut up and let you talk.
So, you know who's always in my comfort zone? Charles Soule.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's always welcome in my comfort zone.
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, what the fuck is he not writing these days?
Well, he didn't write the two books that we just talked about, but that's about it.
Oh, okay. That's about it. Okay. What did you review again, Tony? So, all right. So I'm not really too familiar with this particular Hulk. Her name's Jennifer Walter. She's a cousin to Bruce Banner, and he gave her some blood when she was in a big accident, and she's a lawyer. But beyond that, I don't really know much about her.
Why was I thinking she was a private investigator? But no, you're right. She is a lawyer.
Yeah.
Like, for some reason,
At least I'm sure she's a private dick somewhere in one of these universes.
No, I think I was getting her confused with Spider-Woman.
Okay. Yeah,
that's what I was. Anyway,
so in this issue, I definitely learned a bunch about the character, and it's exactly what I'm hoping for with a number one. I'll leave exactly what I learned off the table because it might be old hat to you guys who might be more familiar with her. But one thing I thought was interesting is that she had relations with Tony Stark.
I think Tony Stark's had relations with everyone, though.
Yes, I have.
No, Tony Stark.
I didn't know that because I don't read a whole lot of Marvel. Again, I'm going outside my comfort zone.
Dipping your toes.
I don't really do a whole lot in Marvel, but maybe something you guys can answer for me is, does she change back or is she just always green? You guys know?
Is she looking hulkish or is she looking just...
She's just... No, I mean, she doesn't really... When she always... I've never seen her normal. I've always seen her, Jennifer, as the Hulk, as She-Hulk. I've never seen her go back. So I think that might be part of what happened with the blood transfusion.
You know, I'm not sure.
Okay.
Because I haven't read any She-Hulk probably since, like, the... late 80s.
Yeah, I want to say that she used to a while ago. So I think they've then just she doesn't change much. I mean, she gets a little bit bigger and more muscular. I think they've just kind of reverted to her always being Hulk form. But that's the thing with her besides the Hulk is she retains who she is when she turned into that.
She definitely was able to control what Bruce was not able to control. No, this is a pretty neat dynamic about the character relative to the Incredible Hulk. But so She-Hulk number one, it's a straight up lawyer issue. No action. It's all lawyer.
There's legal action though.
Yeah. which wouldn't be the first time I've sort of reviewed a lawyer-heavy comic book.
Well, especially from Charles Soule.
What, did he do Trial of Punisher? That's where I was going.
God, did he? I don't remember.
I'm forgetting who did Trial of Punisher, but that's something we did recently. Not much action in it, but heavy lawyer shit, and it was an interesting read for me, anyway.
But Charles Soule is also an attorney.
Yeah, and you know what? It comes across so well here, in this book. Anyway, here in this issue, this is her origin story, as you would imagine it from a number one, but with so many different number ones, who the fuck knows what's going on? But this is an actual origin story from her starting working in a big time law firm. And going on, and then starting a practice of her own. This is kind of her origin story to get to that point in her career.
So this is pre-Hulk origin, or she's already...
No, she's already She-Hulk.
Okay, quick mention that, oh, I got the powers from my cousin Bruce, and that was it.
There was a quick summary at the beginning of the book. Okay. But no, nothing. This is just a kind of an origin story of her professional life.
Okay.
Which... It was just as fascinating as the actual how did she become She-Hulk. In order to get to where this story actually goes through Tony Stark.
Oh.
And that's why I mentioned him earlier. And so now she has to... an instance has come up where she's taking on a case and the... Maybe the plaintiff? Who's the plaintiff and the
defendant?
The plaintiff would be Tony Stark.
Okay.
Yeah, the defendant would be
this. Whoever he's suing.
Yeah. Only if we had a lawyer to consult us. I'm shitty on that, but now going back to my lawyer comment, if you were to just take Jennifer. And it was just, you could actually just have removed She-Hulk from this issue and just have a white girl or black girl or Asian girl, or whatever.
Yeah.
Just a normal person in the role. It would still actually translate pretty well. You just have to have some sort of superheroine in there. But it really works and... It's really a good testament to the writing in this issue. because she, I mean, she doesn't need to be She-Hulk in this issue.
Yeah.
I mean, there's one out. I mean, they dabble a little bit in there to remind you that she's She-Hulk, but she's drawn femininely, and I like that. She's not big and bulking, very feminine, but she's sexy, but not, they're not
overly sexualized.
Yeah, exactly. Not like, bam, here's my boobs, stuff like that. So on art, we have Javier Pulido.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not sure if overall people are going to like this particular art style. I think it's super nice and polished. It's not super polished. Some things that have super fine detail to it. This doesn't. It's kind of
a little scratchier style.
Yeah,
maybe?
It's you know, it's cartoonish feel, but has an adult and simplistic feel to it.
Okay.
Sorry, guys. I got
poopy
describing words, I guess. So, but I think it fits this, and I think they may have used this art style on FF when that series was around like a year or two
ago. That was Mike Allred doing that art.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Mike. Yeah, I'm just drawing a quick comparison because, again, I don't read a whole bunch of Marvel, but I really like the art style. I think it fits for this. But I paid $2.99 retail, and it's completely worth it. It reads very long, and I felt like I got a great value for it. And it was Charles Soule.
Yeah.
So that's always a winner. Tip of the cat.
Yeah. Just to clarify, it dawned on me here shortly after we were talking Trial of the Punisher, but I didn't want to interrupt again.
What are you talking about? That's what we do here.
Yeah. No, Mark Guggenheim did Trial of the Punisher. Yeah. It just all of a sudden I'm like, oh wait.
Yeah, that was a great book. A great two issue
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Does it even qualify for a mini series?
Yeah, because it was a mini. Two issues.
Or I just want to know, did she smash?
There was a smash.
All right.
There was a smash. She did not say smash, but she smashed something in this book.
Now I'm stuck on the miniseries. And if you have two issues, is it a miniseries or is it a double one-shot?
Double espresso.
Yeah. Cool. Question though, Kevin, are you gonna pick up issue 2?
If it's $2.99, I will.
All right.
I mean, that makes me sound so fucking cheap. But I will. This is really good. But if it was a dollar more, no, I don't know. I honestly just wanted, because there's, and we'll touch base on last call, but I don't know. It's just, I felt like whatever I grabbed this week was just like, you know, I've mentioned these books before, and you needed something different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I always, so.
Well, I'm glad you dipped your toes into the Marvel world. Do you feel better?
Now I got a BS part coming on. So
take the plunge. So I just got to review Revolutionary War Death's Head 2. Good book. Pick it up. I'm done. That's a better review than what I did.
Awesome. All right, guys, that was Off the Shelf, once again brought to you by MotorCityComicCon.com. Come see us this May. And on for some news and nuggets.
You're making me hungry. I want to go to McDonald's now.
No, dude, 20 piece $5.
What? Oh, all right. All right, so this was the first news story that I saw come out this week, is that there's a new DC event coming up, and it's not going to be like across the board like the Forever Evil was. It's a Superman event, and it's Superman doomed.
Yeah, I started reading this article, but then I'm like, basically it's telling me what's going to happen in this book. I'm like, ugh. So I stopped reading it.
Yeah. Basically, all you need to know is that there's a Doomsday event coming up.
Yeah, which is cool. Because I liked Doomsday. Definitely, that's what got me. back into comics in the 90s when I was on hiatus during that big Death of Superman event.
Mm-hmm.
And he hasn't been used at all, really. At least in the comic world. Now, he is back, in Superman Wonder Woman, issue 5 out, newsstands now. And so I don't...
Ching. We better be getting paid for that plug.
So I think he's coming back, but they haven't really brought him out, which is good because you have a character that is so strong, so powerful, and then like if you keep on bringing him back, you got to find new ways to defeat him, and then he's not as powerful as he is.
Superman sucks.
Well, okay, here's the one
you
thing.
Suck.
Come on, guys. Let's be friends.
I got to touch his hands. I don't know where it's been. Diaper party. No, I'm interested. He apparently has Doomsday is going to have new powers. I just hope that it doesn't go into like seven, all the Superman titles, because that means I got to pick up all those fucking titles.
I'm guessing it probably is. But the event starts with a one shot, which is going to be the Superman Doomed. And from what I'm seeing, this is where I'm mostly curious, is that from what I understand, there are three writers collaborating on it.
Hmm.
But they're all...
Are any of them Charles Soule?
Yep.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I was joking.
The other two are Greg Pak and Scott Lobdell. And, I mean, that's like a Justice League of writers right there. I mean, that team up.
Sweet. I'm excited.
Yeah, and Ken Lashley is going to be doing the art on it. So, yeah, I mean, I will probably pick it up just to kind of see. But, yeah, it looks like Charles Soule's still writing the Superman Wonder Woman series. Well, we already figured he's writing everything.
You know? He is. We Drunk on Comics, where we'll tell you what Charles Soule is not writing these days.
Because otherwise we'd have a four-hour podcast.
You know how I know Superman sucks? Because he had his 75th anniversary last year, and the U.S. didn't do shit for him. We left that to Canada. This summer, for Batman's 75th anniversary, the U.S. is having a postage stamp. So all you comic book stamp collectors, get ready for Batman.
Isn't it Superman already had like a bunch of stamps?
Well, he didn't have one for us last year.
He also didn't have any of those $1,000, $2 coins.
What?
The hand-painted coins that Canada did.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Those things are badass.
Yeah, it was like $800 for a $5 gold coin or something like that.
Better be made out of kryptonite.
Oh, damn. There's still stamps, though?
Yeah, the snail mail still is out there.
All right. Other cool things coming up. Free Comic Book Day is actually not that far off, and I know we're already planning our travel route.
First Saturday of May, right?
First Saturday in May, yep. The one that I'm...
What Saturday?
Death's Head Day.
It all makes sense now.
the book that I'm mostly excited about is coming from Arkea. Also, aka Boom Studios, because they've joined forces, if you somehow didn't know that. But it's going to be Mouse Guard, Labyrinth, and other stories, and they're coming out with another hardcover, which they did 2 years ago. Now, if they had one last year, I never saw it. But 2 years ago, they had a hardcover book. And these are like the old-school children's books, like from way back, like in my day, like in the 70s style, as far as like those kind of smaller, hardbound books. Mm-hmm. I would go ask your comic book shop if they're going to be ordering them, and because I'm actually going to ask my shop if you order one, you know, they probably will because our shop does kick ass, which we'll name them off here in a minute. But I'm going to have them hold one of these for me because the last hardcover that they came out with 2 years ago was one of the coolest damn things I've ever seen in my life. So, what else is out there, guys? Tony, you got some nuggets? Or are you currently dipping?
He's dipping.
Yeah, he's dipping his nuggets into a diaper.
Dude, I thought the Spider-Man news was interesting that they're going to have a not a reboot but a retelling of his origin.
An addition to his origin.
An addition.
Yeah, it's kind of like
someone else will be there.
What's that?
Someone else will be there at the scene when Uncle Ben died.
Well, no, they aren't retelling. From what I understand, it's kind of like
they're expanding on it.
Yeah, they're expanding on the history.
They're going to show him more like here's Peter in the corner crying.
Yeah,
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, here he is in the shower eating Oreos. And sitting down.
Yeah, and so this little series where they're going to go into more depth about him becoming Spider-Man. It's going to start with issue 1.1 and then go to 1.5.
Yeah.
Why don't they just call it 1 through 5?
Well, because there's already Amazing Spider-Man.
So dumb.
There's not. There's only Superior. The best there is at what he does.
Well, we already know that Amazing is coming back.
I know.
And so, there's going to be another title, though, Tony, so it might be your Superior.
See, that's what I don't think it is, even though I'd pray. That'd be sweet if Peter comes back, but somehow there's a clone, something or other, and then there's still
Clone would be like the stupidest idea ever.
I know. But it'd be original. Or maybe his future... Well, no, that's not his relative. From what I've been gathering, though, they made a big deal of Spider-Man 2099 coming into our now time. That's what it looks like speculation this new title will probably be. Is that Spider-Man? I don't necessarily know we need another Spider-Man title.
What if Doc Ock could switch bodies with Spider-Man 2099?
That would be kind of badass. Actually, see, I don't even really give a shit about... Like, I forget that he is Doc Ock sometimes. He's just dickhead Spider-Man. That's how I see him. And
that's because you don't want to admit that eventually...
Peter's coming back from the dead? Yes, no, I can admit that.
Not from the dead. Because, God, I can't wait to have you pay out on that $20. This has been like a year and a half almost. But yeah, so there is something new coming in May from Marvel for Spider-Man. And it's classified. They won't tell you what it is. But quick little note. Alex Segura Jr., who was executive director of publicity for DC, is rumored to be not making the move out to Hollywood with DC, and that he is going to be staying in New York to work with Archie Comics, take up some type of position similar to what he's currently doing. So that's kind of cool. You know, just a little behind-the-scenes stuff. There's really not a ton to say.
I think working with Archie would be fun.
Well, yeah.
A little stress. You know, everything's laid back.
Yeah. There's a TV series got renewed. It's kind of
decent. Oh, yeah? News.
Yeah. Arrow's coming back for season 3.
Nice.
I don't know if that's news. If you didn't know that, you haven't been watching it, or you're just dumb.
Well, but, I mean, they don't actually say that while you're watching it.
True, but it's been two stellar performance-ish-ness.
But it's... Yeah, a lot of good shows get canceled.
Yeah, Firefly.
And, yeah,
The Cape.
Yeah, but it's surprising. Actually, one of the things that when I'm on the road, I like to pull up a USA Today, and they have. I always like to look at the ratings. I look at.
Are they still in there?
Yeah, the ratings. Yeah, shit. They have weekly ratings on it, and I have fun fact. Univision. That would be the
Univision.
Come on, man. We're almost Canadians.
Oh, yeah.
Univision related to Unibrow. It's right there.
Yeah. The two biggest things are they play a lot of Oasis videos and a lot of Bert and Ernie clips.
Best friends with Cyclops.
Yeah.
But Univision's the number 4 network.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. Anyway, but... The Arrow does actually pretty poor in the ratings, but all of the shows on CW do poor.
Yeah, But for CW, it's doing well.
It's doing okay. But well,
you know, and I have not consistently watched that show. I did, like, I watched the majority of the first season, and then I kind of missed a couple episodes, and I wanted to go back, and I still haven't. But I've watched an occasional episode here or there. Tell you what, I will say that that is a very well-put-together show. You know, I think the stories are solid. I think there's good acting, and the production value is fantastic.
Gut feeling on Flash when that comes out.
Gut feeling is I don't think it's going to make it.
Yeah,
I miss my Smallville.
Yeah.
Did you guys watch The Flash when it was on CBS years and years ago?
Didn't I know. Was it a cartoon or real?
No, it was live action.
Oh.
Yeah, it lasted, I don't even think it made a full season. Not quite certain. I didn't watch it, but I knew it existed.
Yeah. Kevin, passed along a little thing that Greg Rucka is going to be doing a solo series about Cyclops, aka the younger, all-new Cyclops.
Yeah, normally Cyclops-related news I'm not really quick to pass on because he sucks. But
Greg Rucka,
he might make him suck a little less.
Yeah. Well, Greg Rucka was great, but you know what I found most interesting about hearing this news, I thought Rucka was done with Marvel. Because if I remember correctly, I don't think that when he finished up his Punisher run and he left Marvel, I didn't think that they necessarily left on the best of terms. I could be remembering this wrong, but I thought he was done with that forever. However, I'm a big fan of Rucka. I mean, you guys know I've been loving Lazarus lately, and that's his baby over Image. So I'm going to give it a shot, see what it's like.
Yeah, let me know.
I will. Yeah. The just as a quick heads up, the illustrator on that is Russell Dauterman. Not familiar with his work, but we'll see where it goes. Did you guys have anything else?
I was just flipping through. While Tony was giving his review, because I had no idea what was going on, and I found this little nugget because it was Toy Fair was this week, and we have a possible leak that from the Guardians of the Galaxy toy collection coming out this summer, that they might have accidentally teased that might be a Planet Hulk movie.
Ooh, that'd be sweet.
Yeah, because Ronan the Accuser is in there, and he's kind of part of that thing. So that'd be interesting. I don't know. I think so much rides on how Guardians of the Galaxy is going to do. Because if it doesn't work dollars and cents wise...
Yeah, they're not going to take chances. They're not going to take chances.
Because Planet Hulk, that would be... That'd be a crazy sell movie to produce.
That would be, and that could be one of the most visually stunning movies, I think, to be put out there. Mm-hmm. So,
All right, that's about. I mean, there's other new stuff.
Quick moment of silence for Gary Trudeau taking an indefinite break on Doonesbury. Okay.
Doonesbury. You guys read that? I haven't read that in years.
I never read it. I mean, I read it.
It's one of those comics in the funny pages that you would you'd see and like, okay, what's Ziggy up to?
I'm going to go back and edit that sound of silence right there and just cut it out and just have it go right on to.
No, you won't.
No, I won't. I'm too lazy.
All right, guys. Should we do a little Indie Turnpike or a little Booze in a Book next? Or should we do a little Best on Tap? We haven't done those in a while.
Do them together at the same time.
Ooh, we could do that maybe, but...
Talk at the same time?
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's possible.
All right, let's just keep talking and we'll see if you have to talk right now too. So
but
that
I don't
we
know
can
if I can do
if
that.
Holy
shit,
we can
do that.
Oh my God, this is crazy. It's like a time warp. Tony, let's do a little Best on Tap.
Okay. Best on Tap is something that it's... I don't want to do this because I suck at talking today.
Okay, here. Best on Tap is what's the issue? It's Deadpool...
It's Deadpool number 23.
Okay.
But it's hard to say Best on Tap because it's It's not beautiful at all. It's creepy.
It is creepy, but it's so well done.
It is very well done, and I hate looking at it.
It's the Deadpool cover that is made up based on the original Aliens poster, where you see the little mouth coming out of the main mouth, and in this case,
like, the little mouth has his tongue sticking out, like,
yeah. And it's a Deadpool's mouth, or Deadpool's head coming out of Deadpool's mouth.
It's just the grossness of it. Well, and captures you
once again. It's a Mark Brooks cover, which he was one of our nominees for the Drunkie Awards, and he was my personal favorite on there. The detail, amazing. You know.
It's like real lifelike ish.
It's as lifelike as you can get, and honestly, on something like this, you almost don't want it to be lifelike.
No, and that's what's so, like I said, mesmerizing about this, which is why it's best on tap this week, is it's just that good. Regardless of it being scary-ish or whatever, creepy, it's just good.
Yeah. So, there you go.
And quick, do Booze in a Book.
All right, go for it.
So, Booze in the Book this week.
Death's Head 2?
With a bolt to the brain.
Yeah.
Is Forever Evil, Rogue's Rebellion, number 5. It's going to wrap up with the next issue, number 6. But since it's Rogue's Rebellion, I figured I might as well go into my 12-pack of multi-bottles from Rogue's Brewery. And the one that I picked was One Brew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, because it's kind of funny it name, and it kind of fits well with this issue. So, One Brew Over the Cuckoo's Nest by Rogue's Brewery.
What kind Rogue's of beer Rebellion. Was it?
It's kind of like a honey, malty, I don't remember what kind.
Get you drunk kind of beer?
Yeah.
All right, good. Yeah. Well, that'll work.
It's one of those ones. It wasn't a Tilt, that's for sure.
I miss Tilt. all right, guys, for Indy Turnpike this week. Indy Turnpike is brought to you, and truly brought to you this week, by Fanfare Sports and Entertainment, located in Kalamazoo, Michigan. You can check them out online at fanfare-se.com. Thank you to the guys that work at the shop, because, I mean, they always take really good care of us. Well, at least me. I don't know how they treat you, Tony, but
they treat me like shit.
No, they don't.
No, they don't.
When I was in there, one of the employees was like, "Hey, Derek, are you going to pick up the bunker?" I'm like, "Yeah, I don't know. Probably not." He's like, "Goes, you really should." I'm like, and he's like, "Just trust me on this one." He goes, "You'll like it." And then somebody else said something about it. "Are you getting the bunker?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I am." And they're like, "Oh, yeah, you're going to love it." So the bunker number 1 from Oni Press, written by Joshua Hale Fialkoff and art by Joe Infernari. And this book, I'm going to give a little history on this one here from what I've understood, is that this book, Fialkoff and Infernari were going to be originally releasing this as a digital-only comic book. And then when they looked at it, they were putting it out there, Oni basically came to them and said, absolutely not, you guys need to release this on print. This is way too good. And before the things even hit print, they already had some sort of TV deal in the works. So it's looking like this is going to become a TV show as well.
On Univision?
It might be. I'm not sure. they haven't released where. What network or cable channel or whatever it's going to be is going to
be. Netflix.
I hope not. I hope it's just a regular TV show.
So you're saying it was digital. So how many issues are they into this?
There's just the one.
Okay.
It was going to be released digitally.
Okay.
But then it was, this needs to go to print.
So it's not was released digitally and then it came out this, so people have read it before this.
This is
the newest of people knowing.
As far as I know, it was not released
okay
digitally previous to the actual printing. The story here is a group of 5 friends who are, you know, kind of that college age or just about to get out of college, and they decide that they're going to go bury a time capsule. And one of the friends is making fun. They're like, "This is something kids do, not young adults." Well, when they go to dig in to the ground, they find a bunker. And on the bunker are four of the five people's names.
This, the whole thing, when I first heard of this, I kept thinking The Hatch.
In Lost.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is great because they come across and they're like, what is this bunker? And one of the characters actually goes, so who's seen Lost?
Oh. So they didn't make reference. Okay.
Yeah, which is great. I'm going to be giving away some shit here, but I'm not going to spoil all of it. But what you find out is that there's a mass extinction that happens across the globe. And it's four of the five of these friends are responsible for it. One actually becomes president of the United States. The other one is the first lady. There's like a scientist and all this. And the one guy creates a new strain of vegetables that are completely resistant to disease and all that, and then that's actually what causes this.
So on the pages, it jumps to the future, showing this stuff.
And it's then back and forth, future, present.
So just like Death's Head, sweet.
Yeah,
except for you're talking better. Well,
I'm talking better. Well. But this book, it jumps back and forth, and I'm going to let you guys take a peek if you haven't already on this one. It's a heavy, heavy book. I mean, there's a lot going on in here. It's very dense as far as the words, you know, the amount of writing in there. And Fyalkov does a great job at making sure all of his characters get a solid voice in here. I've read this thing three times already since it came out a couple days ago. Because there's so much going on. The bunker itself, when they get down into it, the catch here is that they get down there and they find letters to themselves from themselves in the future. And they're like, this is some kind of hoax, it's a joke, whatever. But there's an event that the one girl in here goes, no one else knows about what was written in here. So I know this was actually true. And it's the whole thing of, you guys are going to cause a mass extinction, but, you know, you have to stop it. You have to let it happen.
Typing away at the keyboard.
Yeah, keep pushing the button. And the best way I've been able to explain it, where I think this is going to make a fantastic television show, is it's to me, as far as how it hooked me in, it's very reminiscent of Lost, but also of like the first season of Heroes, when that was really good. And, you know, you've got that time travel, save the cheerleader, save the world kind of thing. There's a lot of this going on, and there are a couple little catches and surprises, particularly at the very end, that make you go, what the fuck?
So it sounds like it could be a good TV show. Do you think it could sustain itself being TV and a comic?
I hope so.
And I feel like that'd be hard to do, of what you're giving away and what. And if it's the same story, you'd have two mediums for it.
Where I would be mostly concerned is, you can tell a story faster on a weekly TV series with, say, 26 episodes in a year than you can in 12 issues in a comic in a year.
True, but the way comics are going,
right?
Yeah, they could quick get it out and do every other week. Start writing and drawing quicker, guys.
Not a book like this. I mean, you can't. The writing possibly, but like I said, I mean, Fyalkov's got a lot of information here, but Infernari's art, there's a lot of detail, and he's doing everything, you know, on here. As far as, you know, the art, colors, and letters, he did it all. And you look at it, and he's got kind of a scratchy style, a little dirtier, unrefined style, but the detail is there. The color palette that he chose on this, it's very dark, it's very bleak, you know, it's very muted colors, very surrealistic in a lot of it. And you don't see much as far as, like, any hard colors, like a hard red or a hard blue or anything. They're all more pastel type set. But I'm telling you, you guys really need to go out and pick up this book. It's one of the best things that I've seen in years. I can't stop talking about it. You guys know I've been talking about it since
Wednesday. Blah, yeah. Blah, blah.
Yeah. So go pick it up. I mean, this is one that I've just gotten very, very excited by. And you know, this is sequential storytelling at its best. You're not going to find much better than this out on the market. So go grab it. And trust me, you guys will thank me later. And thank you to the guys at Fanfare Sports and Entertainment for recommending this, because I probably would have passed on it and I would have missed out on an awesome story. So that's it.
Guys, all right.
You guys got some last calls? Or are we at that point?
I actually didn't get much this week. Yes, we are at that point. Obviously, Deadpool. Spider-Man came out again, number one. Goblin Nation, or as we'd like to say, 27 point now. I am so fucking happy, though, that they aren't totally renumbered at these things, so I'm a little over them putting number one on this shit. As I said, Rogue Rebellion. Really, I only picked up 6 books this week, and then Asher of City, number 9, and yeah, that's it. Light week for me.
I didn't have that light of a week, but Kevin, what else did you have?
Well, I already mentioned Superman, Wonder Woman.
Yep.
Awesome, as always. And then Manifest Destiny. You need to buy this book.
Yeah, that's that was a good. Have you read all of them?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yep. I've been hip to the Destiny.
Yep.
No, that's good. I got a question. Did anyone pick up any Justice League 3000?
Mm-hmm. It looked interesting, or at least cover. I didn't.
Dude, I picked up the first issue. I'm like, no.
Oh, it wasn't good? Okay.
I haven't picked up any since. I'm just flipping through for the books because I didn't bring the physical books here. But I'm like, oh.
Yeah. Did you get Letter 44?
I figured you would mention it, so...
Are you kidding me? That came out this week?
Uh-huh. Yeah. You got the right five, baby.
I missed that one.
What? Was that McDonald's?
You got the... No,
that was Pepsi.
That was Diet Pepsi, and it was Ray Charles.
Yeah. You got the right one, baby.
We're old.
X-Force number one. Which now combines Cable and the X-Force and Uncanny X-Force. It was not what I expected.
Yeah, weren't you going to stop doing X-Force, maybe?
I was going to give this a shot. Not what I expected. Definitely interesting enough to continue. And I got to say, Simon Spurrier is writing Betsy Braddock as a Brit for the first time in years. Like, most people... Like, she's clearly British in this. And I'm like, thank you. Because nobody writes her that way or hasn't in forever. Got a Robin Hood one-shot, Age of Darkness.
Robin Hood with a Y.
Yep, where she fights Cindy, a.k.a. Cinderella.
Okay.
The Fuse, number one, from Image. It was Anthony Johnson and Justin Greenwood did this book. Futuristic space travel, different space station worlds thing, murder mystery, cop drama.
Comic said.
Yeah. Yeah. The Walking Dead, shit's getting real.
All Out War, baby.
Yeah. This is chapter 7 of 12 of All Out War. And then Egos, number 2, was the last thing I picked up. So that was.
Shit, I forgot. RoboCop, To Live and Die in Detroit. I forgot to mention that one. Sorry.
Is that what it was called?
Yeah.
That's actually a pretty damn good name.
Because it's true.
Man, Detroit ain't that rough.
Yeah. Flint? Yeah.
Oh, God. If people want to make fun of a city, that's the city you make fun of.
We probably have listeners there.
They're making fun of it all the time. They're probably making more fun of it than we do.
Oh, yeah. But see, they can if we do.
Well, the ones that are living do.
If we make fun of it and go there, we'll get killed. Of course.
Dude, why would you want to go to Flint?
I don't know.
You're going to go into engineering school? I heard they have a good one there.
I'm done with school. All right, guys. Well, make sure you check us out on Facebook.
On Twitter.
We have Instagram now. I think we've put 3 pictures up. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I said this like last week, and he said the same. Really? You do? We do?
No, what? No, what they, you know, fuck those things. What the people need to do is they need to go to our website and comment on the various pages we have there.
Go to drunkoncomics.com and you will see actually a bunch of different reviews and occasionally other random things.
Yeah. Check us out on Flutter.
The Flutter? Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to have some Vines here shortly, too.
The only thing that Vine would have ever been good for is if we ever did do a Harlem Shake video.
No.
It's this new thing that's just sensation taking over the internet.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's doing it now.
But yeah, I think that pretty much wraps it up for us. So yeah, if you guys want to reach out and, you know, let us know. And if you love us, go to iTunes and write a review, you know.
Mm-hmm. And if you hate us, don't do that.
Nah, shit, I'd probably even take that. You know? But
get the conversation going, guys.
Yeah, tell your friends. That's it.
Or your family. Not just friends.
Well, yeah. Yeah. And I'm going to give one random shout-out to my cousin who found out about our podcast here back at Thanksgiving and in a matter of, like, less than 2 months listened to every single podcast that we've put out.
That is dedication.
Yeah. So if he can do it, you can do it too. But I wouldn't recommend start at the beginning. All right, guys. Well, keep reading your comics, and we'll be back again next week to talk to you more about them then. So, yeah.
Huber Bach, it's almost 9 o'clock in the morning. I think I'll call up Mitch, wake up that son of a bitch, it's time to get rolling. I do this every day, oh man, I've got to pay, I'm going loaded. My pen is my bowling shirt, this look is gold.